Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Third Love, 70-plus sizes, more than most other brands, including signature half-cup sizes. I believe the cup is half full, but I like the ladies. Find your fit with Third Love's online fit finder. Order and try on at home. No awkward fitting room experiences. Find your perfect fit in just 60 seconds. Just answer a few simple questions. 100% fit guarantee. They have a 60 days. You have 60 days to wear it. You can wash it. You can test it. Check it out. If you don't love it, return it. Third Love will wash it and donate it to women in need. So it's win-win, but you're going to love it. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So they're offering my listeners 15% off their first order. Go to Third, spell it out, thirdlove.com/Adam. Go there now and find your perfect fitting bra at 15% off for your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/Adam. Get your 15% off.
Maxipata, 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 oh, 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 Maxipata.
Rocky Maxipata.
Well, he stands no more than 5'3". This puffy-haired, horny, hungry Asian pygmy road trips with Corolla and sleeps in a drawer. Heard he's good with the ladies, Filipino man whore. Took a school bus trip all around the state. He got a big appetite, likes to clean his plate. His real name's Loxamana, but not to Adam. So we change that shit up, now we call him Maxipata.
Maxipata, 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 oh, 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 Maxipata.
Rock me, Maxipata.
All right. Maxipata,
all right.
You get the idea. This half of the show brought to you by thirdlove.com/am and geico.com. All right, Maxipata, filling that big cup of loving cup, not bra cup.
Oh, the cup runneth over with talent.
It's Chris Maxipata.
All right, so we heard yesterday, it was breaking news yesterday when the cathedral, Notre Dame Cathedral, is on fire as we were doing the show. Mm-hmm. It has now been extinguished. Nearly 400 firefighters fought the blaze, and there was no loss of life. One firefighter and two police officers did suffer injuries.
I guess there's a lot of timbers in there, because I thought the whole thing was just made of stone. The thing's 800 years old, but I guess there's like old timbers up in the, you know, with the, they call them trusses, you know, like the whole top, whatever, right. And that's what was burning.
Yeah, so investigators believe that the fire may have been caused by a $6.8 million renovation project that was going on inside the cathedral. Construction workers will be interviewed by authorities Tuesday to determine what went wrong.
Well, they got a problem here because these guys are French construction workers, so every one of them smokes. Because this is the elite of the elite of smokers. You have construction workers who smoke five times more than the populace does. And then you have French construction workers. Yeah. Everyone's smoking on that job site. So good
luck.
They're
dying in 6 months. That's how much they smoke. Yeah.
Yeah, these interviews will be pretty interesting. So,
sir, were you not smoking?
Maybe I was. Maybe I was not.
But we're going to get to the bottom of this one way or the other. So best to come clean now before it gets too bad for you and your family.
Would you like a cigarette?
I'll take one of the ones in your mouth.
Let me roll it for you. I do the homoerotic move where I roll it and then I put it in my mouth like a penis and I pull it out. There you go.
It is Gay Perry. Thank you very much.
Look, you want the new bathrooms or not? I build and not build. Do you?
So after the roof and the spire burned and collapsed, firefighters were able to save the 800-year-old building's main stone structure. I don't know if you saw any of the videos of this.
I saw online. Some of it, yeah. I'm kind of, you know what I'm interested in? You know how we look at other countries and their uniforms? Like sometimes they're cops, sometimes they're army men or whatever. And we look at them and we go, that's a weird helmet. Mm-hmm. Like they look weird to us.
Yeah.
It strikes me. Our firemen helmets are kind of weird looking. Like, we haven't changed them in 150 years. And I don't know what the firefighting helmets of the French firefighters are, but I'm kind of curious. As ours are weird.
Yeah. They haven't changed much.
They haven't. I don't think they've changed at all, and they're weird. And like, we can all agree that the Germans had the best looking everything in like circa World War II.
Oh yeah.
And then our stuff was sort of middle of the road, and the Japanese stuff was kind of weird, and the Italian stuff was kind of weird.
Excuse me.
Oh, Pizzarini.
Mr. Pizzarini. I thought our uniform would look great.
Yeah. Well,
even though we switched sides in the middle of both the world wars.
Yeah.
I thought we had the best.
Well, you
uniform.
Know, we hung Mussolini, not Pizzarini.
No, I don't but even know him.
Mussolini.
Not
his,
even a close.
And his mistress.
Yes. Oh, that's a very bad. You don't have any mistress. At least the one you can find.
Right. So we hung her and Mussolini, yes. But not Pizzarini.
No. No Pizzarini's involved.
Yeah.
No Pizzarini tanks. They want too many.
Two tanks. Yeah.
Yes. I say you want the three, maybe four tanks I can build, but not millions.
Yeah. And by the way, where are you going to get the Chrysler power plants for that?
Yes, impossibly.
You're not going to get a Chevy small block.
No, I cannot do it. I don't know where they get the engine. The engine not important.
Yeah.
To the
it
style.
Must have been Lamborghini doing a lot of that because... Well, no.
Yes, they collaborate. The Lamborghini.
Well, hold on. Lamborghini.
Hold on, the son of a bitch. Thank you. You're right.
I think he was a mechanic in World War II, so it probably wasn't him. But he made tractors after that.
Dirty
so.
Hands mechanic.
Yeah. Not
don't let him anywhere near the inside of the car.
Or in the kitchen.
Yeah, no, close.
Yes.
Yeah, no closer to the kitchen.
Sorry. So anyway. They'll be missed. Wow, look at those firefighters.
Yeah.
We're looking at them.
Wow.
Those are French firefighters?
Yeah, we're looking at them. They're
looks
good.
Like Daft Punk.
Ooh, la
yeah,
la.
It's yeah. very Daft Punky. And it's very Buck Rogers or the new Star, whatever. Goddamn, what was that? What was that bad wee-wee-wee-wee-wee? No, like bad 70s, late 70s, early 80s sci-fi.
Tron?
No, TV series.
It
was like Battlestar Galactica, sort of like that. Anyway, sorry.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking Flash Gordon now.
And was that a shot of Notre Dame today? Did the French do something that fast, which was slap up scaffolding?
No, the scaffolding was all up.
Yeah, it was already up before.
Oh, it was up and then the fire. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so France has vowed to rebuild it. And a fundraising campaign has already raised over $339 million.
Wow.
Most of which is pledged by a pair of French billionaires, and including Salma Hayek's husband, François-Henri Pinault.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything, but how about a little of that for World War II? Huh? Still got a little coming our way for World War II.
He's a billionaire, and he's known as Salma Hayek's husband.
That's what they're saying. All right. So Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson announced overnight that he has signed a new contract that will keep him in Seattle and make him the highest paid player in the NFL. So the 30-year-old veteran who led the Seahawks to a Super Bowl win in 2014 told Twitter followers, "Hey, Seattle, we got a deal. Wilson has a 1 year remaining on his current contract before the extension kicks in, earning him $140 million over 4 years.
Wow, that's a payday.
Yeah, I know. It includes a $65 million signing bonus, which surpasses Aaron Rodgers as the league's highest paid player.
Well, he's a great athlete. and he means a lot to the franchise. And he seems like an all-around good guy.
Seems like an upstanding citizen.
I don't, so I'm...
Former Badger!
I wish all those guys well.
I like guys who stay in one city. You don't see that much anymore.
Yeah, Dirk Nowitzki. Nowitzki just retired from the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. He played many
years. I like that. Sci-fi show, Buck Rogers and 25th Century. I don't think it's that. Who's got the weeby, weeby, weeby? Is that? Oh, maybe it is Buck Rogers. Is that?
Wow.
If you watch the guy going weeby, 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 it's it. All right, Brian, you're right. Yeah. I'm trying to think of who that Aaron was, the chick on that. Aaron Gray may have been the hot co-chick. Anyway.
That's a poll.
Mm. It could be a deep poll. Go ahead.
All right, got a Germany or Florida from you, if you haven't been seeing these tweets yet. So a German or Floridian man, 71 years old, was taken into custody and charged with a count of misdemeanor battery for squirting a woman several times with a water gun that contained his own urine last night. So, and police said that he allegedly admitted to shooting his bodily fluids at the woman and told officers he'd do it again, or whatever the German way to say that is, when asked.
But the German way.
Or I don't know how to say it in German. I just don't want to throw you off if you're trying to guess Germany or
he'd
Florida.
Do it again.
It could be translated.
He would do it again. And he stated the incident did not cause bodily harm to the victim, posted bail.
Did he know the victim? Okay, I'll buy it a second. But let me just say this. If they had one of those super soaker things with the half-gallon hopper and you pump it up to 700 PSI... I would have been pissing that thing all day long when I was 14. All day long. As I would have used it with hose water or pool water somewhere between 3 and 7 times and then immediately just started evacuated it. Into it. Yeah, immediately. Wouldn't even have been a question.
I've been peed on by my friends as well.
Oh, it's good. Here's what I would have when I was 16. I'd have a super soaker full of piss and a t-shirt launcher full of shit. And I'd just be walking around like, who wants some? That'd be it. I would have for sure done that.
Thank God that technology didn't reach North Hollywood.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, sure. It's a potato cannon. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So I'm trying to wonder, though, like he's just a random gal?
She was a woman walking her dog past his home.
Dachshund? Schnauzer?
I don't know what kind of dog.
Now, could the dog have like taken a dump on the lawn and didn't clean it up?
I'm waiting. The next time this happens.
All it is he said he'd do it again, so there has to be something.
Fecal payback.
If it was semen, I would have gone Germany, but this is white trash all the way. I'm going
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot of semen. That is really.
Yeah, yeah. It would have been a multi-week project.
Yeah.
That's a pistol water gun.
Pistol.
Good stuff. All right. I'm going Germany on this one.
Jeff?
Florida.
It is Florida. Woo! Florida man. His home is in Gulfport, which is right outside of Tampa. And
see you guys in October.
Just adds to the list.
How quick do police officers burn out in Florida? What, like 8 months? They go, I've seen it all. I got to retire. You're 26.
I can't help it.
Quiet, rookie. Get yourself together.
Yeah, it's got to be brutal. Everything's got to be brutal, right? Like, how many calls where a guy was, like, eaten by his own python, like, he had his pet python? So a lot of weird pets there turning on weird
the
dudes.
Cassowary bird.
That's right. We talked about it yesterday.
In the Lethal Weapon version of the 24-year-old trainee, I'm too old for this shit.
It has wary right in the name of the animal. Cassowary. Be wary.
Be wary. In your house. Cassowary. He'll take you out. Cassowary. He'll take you out in your own casa. Oh, we have Buck Rogers, wee guy, wearing the helmet. There it is. That's him. That's the French firefighter.
Thank you, Kalen.
Thank you.
All right. So, Lori Loughlin.
Yeah. I am, you guys tell me, I'm confused. I turn on the news and it's like, oh no, she's doing time. And it's like, oh yeah, but how much? Oh, not months. She's doing years. Yeah. She's going to do that time. She turned down a plea deal and now they've ratcheted up. And I'm like, couple things. I'm the same way with low end, you know, consensual crime, you know, John, prostitution, Wesley Snipes, like owing the tax man, whatever it is. I have a ledger as a society. I have stuff that involves hurting other human beings or putting your hands on them or stealing their property or arson or murder, whatever it is. And then have all this other stuff, which is either kind of consensual stuff or monetary stuff. And I'm not that interested in the nuts and the bolts. Like, well, it was fine. And then they used the mail. And once you put in the mail, it became a federal case. And then the RICO Act kicked in or whatever it is. Like, look, they have more money than God. We have a shit ton of problems in this city. We have a crazy homeless problem. They're big time taxpayers. Like, they're earners over there. If you want to punish them, leave them on the outside. Let's have them build half a homeless shelter with the money or whatever it is. Don't just incarcerate them and get them off the books.
There you go. Thinking again.
Yeah. And also, yeah, I don't know. She probably like, well, yeah, but what if she strikes again?
Yeah,
what if she, like, what if she adopts a teenager and does this again? Then what?
She's going to be on the loose.
And it's always like, well, what about the victims? Oh, there's two other hot chicks who didn't get into USC. Like, I don't know how many victims there are. I'm not so sure there are victims here.
Yeah. In fact, she said that she has trouble grasping that her $500,000 payment did break the law. She says it's just taking – or there's a source is saying it's just taking some time for it to sink in. What she was allegedly doing could be considered illegal. To her, it wasn't egregious behavior. Was it entitled and perhaps selfish? Perhaps. But she didn't see it as being a legal violation from the beginning. She didn't want to take a deal because she felt she hadn't done anything that any mom wouldn't have done.
The reason it doesn't seem like a crime is because it's not really a crime. It's just stuff that rich people have done for their entire lives.
No lives are in danger.
This thing where it's like, I'm not interested in the part where, oh, okay, well, you go to jail for all the young black teenage boys who got selling a dime bag and now are, does that make it right? Like, does that fix things? The notion is, let's figure out who poses a threat to society. And if you pose a threat, then I would like you in a cage. You're essentially saying, I will put you in a cage. I mean, if you think about the conceit of prison, you, human being, are going to go in a cage. You're going in a cage, and we'll put another cage around you. And you can go out and play some handball every once in a while, but you're going back into the cage. Yeah. So we're essentially saying, I'm going to take human beings, and I shall cage them. Like if you had a really dangerous animal at the zoo or something, or you're transporting a dangerous animal, put him in a cage. So Lori Loughlin going into a cage.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, the cassowary. That should be in a cage. Yeah.
I don't need her in a cage. Now, if she did something wrong, and we can agree on what she did that was wrong, and she owes society a debt, although I don't know who she owes, because I'm not going to USC. Less than 40% of society attends USC, maybe.
Oh, well, Chris, check that out. Chris is right.
Yeah, check that out. Maybe in the low 40s. But either way, the lion's share of the human beings in this country, on this planet, don't attend USC. So has nothing to do with them. Whoever you punted out of this position, if in fact that's even how it works. I don't know if they go, listen, here's how many freshmen we can go two more. No, I don't know. So even the theory is you punted two kids out of the USC freshman class. Well, there were at least kids that were flirting with the notion of going to USC. They're not poor and impoverished and whatever else.
Well, it may have been, depending on scholarship. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say. I do
believe
there's
some... Let them go to fucking CSUN with the losers.
It's a Humboldt state.
Yeah.
I would say probably bribery and fraud have been committed. Mm-hmm. But I do like the idea of... I'm going to work this off.
For these financial crimes, now you owe five times that, 10 times that.
Yeah, you actually have to pay your taxes this year, and we're going to use them in a very specific we're going to build a homeless shelter for the kids who couldn't get into USC.
We live in a land riddled with potholes and homeless, so that's why don't we work on that? These guys are earners.
Ever fill potholes?
With homeless.
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't know what Lori has paid in over the years in terms of taxes or her brother Massimo Bizzarini.
He's another
husband.
Disgrazia.
Yeah,
no, Bizzarini.
Oh, yeah, but Massimo Vanelli Bizzarini.
You make it the dish. How hard is it to make
I'm just
a dish?
Saying, I don't know. Let's get him to focus. Make it right.
Yeah,
you know, pay money, build something, build a shelter, do something. I don't know. And then also, when they go like, hey, we got to send a message to all the other super rich, affluent people who want to pay a little grift to get their son or daughter into college. I don't know. How about this message? You do that, you're going to build half a homeless shelter. How about that message?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
I like it.
It's weird. And I'm always weirded out by all the people that are like, hey, they got to pay. Oh, no, they got to pay. Like, what do you care?
Right.
And it's all schadenfreude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to spend years in jail, Adam. So
I can't picture that.
I mean, look, they were supposed to face maximum 20 years, but then after they denied the plea, then they were indicted with a new charge, money laundering, which doubled their maximum jail sentence.
It's
a terrible gamble.
I'm the worst. I'm just like, oh, who cares? Who cares? Just get him to go. Give him a fine. Give him a volunteer or whatever. And let's get on with our goddamn lives.
Where you just go, all right, has the prosecutor just played himself out of this hand of poker? Because money laundering, that's a stretch for what happened here.
I said to people all the time, and this is kind of the problem with our system. The prosecutors are just going to go for what they can go for. They don't really care who they're dealing with or what they paid in. Or for me, I factor in the part where you paid a shitload in taxes over the last 30 years. I mean, that's a big factor for me. Everyone else is like, what? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not confused. These people probably paid in millions and millions and millions of dollars in taxes. And you go, so what? Okay. So what, dickheads? Who keeps all the fucking schools up and running? Who keeps all the fucking roads paved? Who's paying everything? The fucking people pay all the fucking taxes. So cut them a goddamn break. And they go, oh, you want to buy yourself? Yes, I'll make that deal. If everyone pays in with these two paid in over the last 30 years, then you too can get a slap on the wrist when you try to get your kid on the crew team at USC. How about that? I'll live in that fucking utopia, dickheads.
I wish I would have taken the opposite view just to see where it would have taken you. I actually agreed with you and you got that fired up.
I'm fucking tired of it. Like, they pay a shitload in taxes and they didn't put their hands on anybody. You see, you have to put your hands on somebody for me.
Yeah, I think everyone's just confusing threats with injustice, and it's all blending together now. So it's not really a huge threat on anybody's life. There's no harm, but it is an injustice.
And also, I don't know. We have to send a message. Why? Might have to send a message to whom? Anyway, I hope they don't do a fucking second. But I would try to get some fucking cash out of them. I mean, we live in a society where, look, we do two things. Our two things are, we need reform of the prison systems. Too many poor people getting caught up in the prison system. And then when that person's done talking about that talking point, next thing they go into is, we need these rich people to start paying their fair share. Like, we need rich people to start paying, and we need reform of the prison system. Good. This will be both.
The cliche that we all agree on in society is, you can buy your way out of prison. Rich people can buy their way out of prison. Okay, let's let them buy their way out of prison.
Yeah,
have them pay in however much money to charity or to whatever.
Let them buy their way out.
Cut out the middleman. Don't let the money go to the lawyers.
Right.
Literally buy your way out.
At the very least, a Lori Loughlin crew scholarship.
Yes, that's right.
See, now you're talking.
Something. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, we have another celebrity son here.
Mm-mm.
Cooper Hefner, Hugh Hefner's son.
Mm. 75 years old.
So it's a birthday shout out?
He's 27. He is stepping down from the family biz to start a news and adult content site called HuffPost.
Is that like a HuffPo?
Yeah, it's going to be his foray into something like HuffPost with adult content. The site will be a larger media brand he's launching. He's expected to stay with the company as an advisor. But
Melania's booze, are they real?
Yeah.
Lori Loughlin pays $100,000 right now to shut this thing down.
Okay.
Shut it down.
Society wins.
Shut down HuffPost. Everybody wins.
What is now Playboy?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think they're? I mean, they're probably making money licensing stuff or something. But
they
probably made the most revenue they made last year is on air fresheners, like
mud flaps.
Like, yeah. What are they doing?
Big mud flaps were huge.
Where's their income?
Well, they said that they in 2017 they were moving to mainstream by excluding nudity from their pages, and they had a drama series for NBC rather than a network. Or a cable network show.
What?
And yeah, I don't remember it.
Are there still Playboy clubs like at the Palms or something? Like,
wow.
I don't know how that
I don't
does.
I don't know.
I'm banned from that club.
I don't know.
From the Palms?
Oh, I snuck in and they pulled me into like a back room. And these two big, huge security guards, I thought they were going to casino me.
So like 5'9"?
Yeah. Yeah. Such a Chris, they were huge.
Huge.
Yeah. They don't like it when you come in through the air duct. You got to buy a ticket. You got to get a wristband.
Mission Impossible finally drops down.
Hey, there's a secret entrance. I'll just leave it at that. And I found it.
So, all right. Weird, but okay, but who cares? But that may be the end of that dynasty.
I think so. Mm-hmm. So sorry, Playboy. Now, I have a couple of South Carolina stories, which might become the new Florida.
Ooh.
First off, a white man in South Carolina has been sentenced to 10 years in prison for pleading guilty. He was trying to hire a hitman to kill his black neighbor, hang him from a tree, and leave a burning cross in his yard. The only problem was that the hitman he hired was an FBI agent that was posing as a hitman.
There's this happens every time, or at least every time I see it on like 2020. They're like, meet me in the parking lot of the Cracker Barrel, and then let's have a talk in the car. And they have a conversation. And they offer, every time they find a hitman, it's always an undercover FBI guy. Yeah. But I guess if you solicit for a hitman, you get on their radar.
I think it's the only times we hear about it is when it's an FBI guy.
Well,
I'm sure plenty
too.
Of hitmen are hired successfully.
You're right.
Yeah.
I hope you're right.
So what he did was he reached out to an unidentified white supremacist organization seeking help with the murder.
Mm-hmm.
And then an FBI agent posing as a hitman contacted the guy. He told the agent over the phone, $500 and he's a ghost. According to an arrest warrant affidavit, after giving the agent an initial payment of $100, he was taken into
custody. He gave
custody.
A down payment?
Yeah.
20%?
Wow. A little.
He got an FHA loan.
What was the beef? They say the beef with the neighbor?
Yeah, he had a black neighbor.
I think that was the beef.
That's the beef?
Yeah, it wasn't a hedge dispute.
He wanted to hang it from a tree and leave a burning cross in his yard. So I don't think he forgot to...
Hold on a second.
Just hang us.
Hold on.
What?
This is a make it look like a hate crime. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, it was a hate crime.
He wanted his neighbor gone for other reasons.
Oh.
And because he was black with the cross and the hanging and the burning and all that kind of stuff, it seems like... By the way, when this happens to your neighbor, everyone thinks Klan, white supremacist, whatever. They don't go, well, let's talk to the guy next door because what are the chances that guy's in the Klan?
Right.
I wonder if he's trying to cover his tracks. Yeah. Anyway, good. They caught him. And look, we're living in a time where I don't think you can phone a mosque and plan a terrorist attack or call the Klan and try to start a race riot because isn't the FBI just listening to all that stuff now?
Imagine.
Yeah.
They must be listening to everything.
The good old days are over.
Everything's listening to everything. My phone, I swear, just listens to what I'm saying. And then I go on Instagram. There's an ad that
for the Klan.
With my hitman.
Yeah, maybe the hate thing's not working out. Maybe you can back off that throttle.
Yeah. Well, he should just use a water gun with his urine, I guess.
That's right. All right. Let me jump in with Geico here. Is this a 30? Geico, everyone's got the to-do list. Oh, yeah. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance and you don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money. Put it in your pocket. It'd be the most rewarding thing you do today. That is Geico. Geico.com. All right. Let's do another.
All right. Another South Carolina story, Adam. We all know how much you love grit.
I love grit.
Do you love grits? Because the World Grits Festival in St. George, South Carolina is happening, and they have this thing.
The grits bowl is huge in South Carolina.
I feel like the
grits bowl is huge in Charleston.
I feel like grits are kind of oatmeal-y in the sense that they are just a freshly gessoed canvas, and then it's up to you to paint on it.
Exactly.
So it's like a nice substrate, and if you can get enough butter and enough brown sugar and enough pecans, it's going to be really good. Or if they just give you grits, then it's just what oatmeal is minus everything. Yeah. Is that a fair grits?
Grits and polenta are the same thing.
Are they?
It's corn.
Well, you obviously knew that.
It's of course that's not it.
Right.
So why not building my plant in America?
Gino Bizzarini?
Not the good.
Yeah.
No, get the polenta. Uh-huh. This is what I make it. You can fry it on either side. Polenta. Now, polenta have its own flavor. Mm. You saute it in the olive oil. See, they don't understand that in your, what do you call it, your South Carolina.
Uh-huh. Right. So they're having a grits festival.
There's a grits festival, but the thing is, so this is a small town, population barely hovering over 2,000, but they claim to be the biggest consumer of grits per capita in
the world. What is the best way to go with grits? Give me a savory grits. There must be a savory version where you add a bunch of
bacon fat or something?
Yeah. It's just something. There's got to be a sweet and a savory, right? Yeah.
Grits has to be like what the South's white rice is. Like, I think it just can. It takes the sauce of whatever you're eating next to it. Like sometimes,
yeah,
barbecue.
I'm down with it. I just feel like it's sort of like saying, what's a pipe cleaner? And then you go, we got to bend it into the shape of like a stick man, and then it's something cool. But if just on its own, there's not much to it.
Yeah, no, yeah. It needs a lot of help.
Exactly. So there is a 3-day festival, and they do this thing called Rolling in the Grits. It's a contest where contestants dive into a pool filled with 27 cases worth of grits.
Definitely not a Jew.
And they have 10 seconds to collect as much as they can on their body, so they're weighed beforehand and then after their 10-second swim, and whoever comes out carrying the most grits wins.
Mm.
You want maximum absorption.
They're going to have to bring those folks down to the truck stop and weigh them, because a lot of those guys are coming in at 4 bells. Dry, like bone dry, just a pair of Tommy Johns and a winning attitude. And once they get themselves covered with grits, not conventional scales are no longer going to work. Yeah. They have to bring them to the truck station.
Sure.
Yeah, but, there's a picture. Post grits.
Yeah. I kind of like this part of the world in its own weird way. I like to file this stuff under why the terrorists hate us.
Yeah.
Like we just make food, roll around in it, and throw it away.
Weigh ourselves.
Right. Yeah. Weigh ourselves. And by the way, the chick in the picture is wearing not only a Quaker's Oats shirt, but she's coming in at 2:45. Just bone
squeegee
dry.
It off and send it over to the restaurant.
That's right.
Nobody
that's
what in that, you're eating.
Nobody in that picture is worried about Lori Loughlin.
No, they're not worried about her finding justice, and nobody got bumped when they're just about make the cut at USC. Yeah. All right, the Grits Festival. Also, that was a famous line. Oh, Kalen. The sitcom Alice. The sitcom Alice was the chick packing it up, moving with her son to Phoenix. So weird. I don't know if you guys were like me, but all these sitcoms when I was a kid, when I was like 10 years old and I watched these sitcoms, and I grew up in North Hollywood. I had no idea. I've never looked at a map or the globe. We didn't take geography in class. So it's like when they were like, now I go back and look at it, and it's like, oh, One Day at a Time, they moved to Indiana. Like, is there in Indiana? And I'm like, oh, okay. And Alice, she moves to Phoenix. And it's like, oh, she's in Phoenix. Like, I know where that is now. Like, when I was a kid, I had no idea. I knew there was, like, you know, L.A. stuff and then Barney Miller stuff. Like, oh, he's in New York or Taxi
York,
or whatever.
But
all the stuff in between, like, I never had any idea where any of these places were or how you packed up and went there. But Flo,
sure.
Her line.
Catchphrase.
Her catchphrase, her here come the judge, was from Alice. She was the sassy waitress from Alice. And do we have it? Do you have it? All right, let's listen.
Tell her she can kiss my grits.
I didn't know where Grits was. I didn't know where fucking Phoenix was, but I knew it was a hell of a sitcom when I was a kid. Tell her she can kiss my grits.
Grits. Yeah.
That's all it took back then. All right, one more, Max Panna.
All right. I was going to...
It's your big closer. Come on, don't blow it.
All right. Well, this one...
My grits.
Kalen really wanted to talk about this one.
Oh, jeez.
There was a... Last month, there was a racing pigeon that sold for $1.4 million.
It's a Bissanini!
Thing was in the Car and Driver in 1965. The guy wanted $700-$800 for it.
So. Yeah. So it was considered Belgium's best long-distance bird of all time. Now, I remember, I found one of these racing pigeons in our parking lot.
That's
and
right.
And the guy drove all the way out here to pick it up. So excited that I called the number on the leg and found him and had so many stories about him. I didn't have time. I just put him in a box and left him outside.
Right.
Because the gate closes automatically, so I don't want to
punch some air holes in the box.
Yeah.
But yeah, $1.4 million for a pigeon. Worth more than me.
Now, I'm guessing
$8,000.
I'm guessing it's kind of like race horses. You got to breed them.
Well, if they can win you money, yeah.
Yeah, this is.
Yeah.
I don't understand because you have to let them go, and they're just so good. They know how to come back, they know where to come back every time.
Well, only if you love them. If you love them, you let them go.
That's where
they come back.
From.
I'm going to fucking choke the life out of the person that said that. I hate that person. My thing is you keep them confined where you're keeping a fucking eye on them.
Hobble them.
Yeah, do what they did in Silence of the Lambs. You dig a pit in your living room.
Sure,
a
cassowary cage.
Misery.
That's right.
Stick them right in there.
Yeah, hobble them, right. That's right. and then they race them. They must race them from point A to point B. So the craziest sport is like air races, like Reno air races, and they race. They go around pylons.
Yeah,
but I don't think they could train them to go around a pylon. They must just go somewhere and just have as the bird flies kind of race. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're sort of the Kenyans of the air.
Yeah,
they just do this. They can do it forever, and they want to do it.
To do
blood,
it.
Yeah,
it's insane.
So you get them and you mate them, but not with another fast bird, with a cheetah.
Oh.
Or
the island of Dr. Moreau.
Or Usain Bolt. Whatever. You create the world's fastest animal. All right. Let's bring it home.
Chris?
I'm Chris. Chris. That was the news.
I got a flight, but thank you so much. I think I'll keep trying to do this.
That was the news on the Adam Carolla Show.
Jesus, I'm trying to think of the wife of the dude who bought the $1.4 million pigeon. Like, what'd you get? I got a pigeon. But you said you're going to an auction. Yeah.
I said we were having salmon tonight. Why'd you get a pigeon?
Wait a minute. Last week I said we needed a new roof, and I told her it was $28,000, and you said that was way too rich for our blood.
You're outraged.
You're outraged. You said you'd do it yourself, and now you just spent $1.4 million on a pigeon.
You can't believe how beautiful it is in the sky.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be watching them a lot from a tent.
Okay? Yeah.
You're out of the house.
Or we could go to Central Park with a mosquito net and get 15 of them for free. All we need is one cob of corn, a mosquito net.
Yeah. Some breadcrumbs.
A good New York pigeon might be able to outrun a good carrier pigeon.
Street pigeon.
Yeah. Or
take off.
Or he'd take out the fast one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He'd T-bone him.
Yeah.
Definitely the survival skills.
Come on, pretty boy.
Yeah, that's birdseed. Yeah, go ahead, eat it.
Tainted birdseed. All right, let me tell you about Castrol EDGE. Stronger under pressure, engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol EDGE with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep the metal apart and stop it from the power-robbing friction. Three times,
fool!
Stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. EDGE formula always exceeds the toughest industry standards. It is Castrol EDGE.
Chris is still here.
Mm.
I don't know if I like that.
Oh, come on. The show's almost over.
All right. San Francisco coming up Friday, Saturday. Cobbs, I'll be up on stage doing stand-up there this week. And Sacramento and Brand, Denver and West Palm. And not Taco Bell material, my stand-up special. You can get that at Chassis, 2S's and Y, and iTunes and Amazon and all those places. So thank you for that. Chet Waterhouse, Jeff Cesario, Play With Pain, the podcast. Check that out on Podcast One, Apple Podcasts as well. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Chris Maxipata, Jeff Cesario, and Bull O'Brien saying mahalo.
Do I have the balls to think anything I have to say is interesting to anybody else?
Stick around. Today's episode of Good Sports is coming right up. Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla on the way.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents
Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports, the last of this week. We're off Thursday and Friday, but of course the Adam Carolla Show will spin in full fashion the Good Sports episode, notwithstanding. Ace, yesterday we finished up talking about Captain Marvel. I just saw that with my kids, and they loved it. I mostly liked it, but there were a couple of issues in the third act that kind of got under my skin, but I'm interested to hear what your critique
Which
was.
Which is not Shazam, but it's Captain Marvel.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I did also see Shazam.
I heard Shazam was good.
It was
better.
Fun. It was fun.
All right. This happens in every one of these movies, and happened in Armageddon. Not in Armageddon, whatever the Will. Oh, was it Will? Oh, God, Will Smith, and they're jumping into Independence Day. So the thing. So at some point, they're running from the bad guys, and like they're in the big hangar or something, and the guys are shooting at them, and they're like running behind them. They go, jump in, and they jump into some spaceship or some experimental aircraft or something. And the person who's a pilot but has never sat in this, and the person next to him is yelling, go, go, go. And they're like, hold on a second, I don't know what to do. And they're like, go forward, and the thing goes forward. And at some point, they do this really shaky, right. They hit the ground a few times, they pop off, they hit it up. 18 minutes later, they're going back home, and they're being chased by the intergalactic spaceships that are firing all the lasers, and the same person's got the yoke in their hand, and they go, hold on, I'm going to do the Cobra drag. Hit reverse thrusters, and they hit like an aileron, and then they're like, flaps down, the full back on the yoke, and they do this weird move. Everyone flies past them, like, we're going inverted, and they go over the top, and they're going through Monument Valley, like upside down. Hang on, we're going to pull some G's here, and I'm like, first off, you don't even know where the cup holders would be on this vessel at this point. It takes years in a simulator to figure out where all the buttons are and what the capabilities are and why are you an expert at
this? The best example of that, or among the best, and I saw that exact same thing and laughed about it in the moment and talked about it with Jean-Claude Van Damme-shek of that inconsistency that I love. Rey in whichever that first, was it Force Awakens or whatever, the first of the new Star Wars pictures, she, same thing, she gets into the Millennium Falcon, which is a clunky hard ship to fly, and she does exactly what you say, bounces it, can't get the thing off the ground. And literally 32 seconds later in the movie, she is doing that thing where she's going through super narrow cliff, yes, things like that, just flying it through, beating. These people are professional pilots. These stormtroopers should be ashamed of themselves that they're in the Empire's Air Force, and they can't catch somebody who's barely ever flown a plane before.
Right.
I'm with you completely. The thing along those lines, too, that bugs me, and I think we've also talked about this, Superman is maybe the best example. But Captain Marvel, we saw this too. She suddenly realizes right at the end of the picture, she hasn't fully mastered what her powers are until she, like, the light bulb goes on. And now she realizes, oh, I've only been limiting myself. Now I can defeat anybody at the blink of an eye.
She had a girl power flashback.
Right. Exactly. Nah. But now suddenly she's imbued with all the power of the universe. Everybody is a flea on her arm that just needs to be flicked away. Except as soon as she does that and defeats her, then like six people come and she has to go fight them. And then they like are getting shots in on her.
Right.
Well, are you undefeatable? Are you a juggernaut to not be toiled? Or can you like kind of get hurt here and there? Like when Superman, like what goes on here with you when you fight Zod? Like he's made of steel. You understand? You cannot defeat him. But then when Zod hits him, it's like, ah, that kind of hurt my jaw. What? I mean, are you Superman or are you not? Or are you just really strong?
I don't know. I was yapping about this on my pod, which is I'm done with this sort of neither fish nor fowl sort of generic laser blast from everyone's hands. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really been defined. You know, like in war, So this is what's great about a World War II movie. You have the German Panzer Division. They're in their Tiger tanks. The guy's got the Sherman tank over here. And it's like, yeah, hit it. It hits. The tank keeps going. I was like, we can't put a dent in those things. They got 4-inch steel on the turret. We don't have enough firepower for that. And it's like, all right, Tom Hanks got to make a sticky bomb and take the tread off because we can disable it. We can't destroy it, but we can stop it, you know, whatever. So they live in a world that's
right,
just like,
where you must MacGyver things with real life implements to get by.
And if someone is just holding a .38 revolver and standing 100 yards away from a German Tiger tank, you go, well, that's useless. I'm not going to do anything. You can't do. But in this world, you take your hand and you move it out and you spread
that's
your fingers, and then a laser shockwave comes from your hand. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it picks up your opponent and throws them back 100 feet and they hit the wall and they slide down, but they pop back up again. Was it the throw that hurt them? Was it the laser part doesn't have any effect on them and being thrown 80 feet against the cinder block wall? They just pop
That's
up.
Right.
Are they hurt by it? What can you do with it? You can do like groups of people with it, but then some people doesn't hurt. I'm tired of the generic, like, here's my power. Ha! And you just throw your
hand
out. Well,
by the way, if you're going to assert, again, of course, the granddaddy of them all, Face Off, as we've talked about with this. Don't go see the movie if you know that the one-line description of the show doesn't suit you. If you can't buy that one man is going to take his face off and replace it with another man's and everybody's going to believe that's him, then don't go see the movie. You don't get the belly, oh, little far-fetched that you can do. Then don't see the movie. You know that that's what it's about. Same thing, Superman. He's made out of steel. He's an alien, but he's here to help humanity out. But he can't be defeated. Okay, but then you don't get to mess with whether or not he can be defeated or not. You can't like have a bad guy throw him and then like he's like down on the ground and he does that thing where he fixes his chin a little bit.
Right.
Like, yeah. Okay. No, he's not. You can't hurt him. What are the? Because the answer is, but they're the ones who opened the can of worms by giving them these unbeatable powers. That's the end of the movie, right? The movie should be over. It's like, well, okay, well, now I can't. And that's why it's so dumb. That's why it's the ultimate front runner to tie it to sports. That's why Yankees fans are the worst and Patriots fans are the worst. Because it's the equivalent of the Patriots having to beat the Dolphins or beat the Jets in the Super Bowl every year. Mm. Superman's arch villain, his arch nemesis, is a bald middle-aged guy.
Yeah.
Well, of course he wins every time. What's the suspense of this?
Now you sound like Lynette. Listen, speaking of Jets, somebody tweeted me. Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, I saw
that's
that one.
That's a logo.
See, I apologize that didn't occur to me when you brought that up last week.
I would like to go over to whoever designed the NFL Jets and go, sorry, but this is a Jet logo.
You've been defeated. This is the capital of the world, and you've been outdone by a Manitoba-based outlet.
Right.
Congratulations,
yeah.
New York Jets. And then that's wonder why the Giants are more popular than you.
Winnipeg's the greatest claim to fame is that the Bachman brothers from Bachman Turner Overdrive are in the neighborhood. That's the greatest. And you've been outdone in the logo department. Randy Bachman was born within 20 miles of Winnipeg. That's the greatest achievement. You guys are the financial capital of the world, and this is all you got.
I mean, time to take a long look in the mirror. There, New York Jets, all he is.
One last thought in the superhero
ahead.
Department, whether it's the Captain Marvel having a flashback or whatever, or even Rocky fighting Clubber Lang for a second time, I don't like the part where you try and now you're going to win. Like the part where the superhero's like, oh man, hold on, now I'm serious. I'm going to dig deep, and I'm going to have a flashback, and then like the music's going to swell, and that's it now. Now. Mm-hmm. Now it's happened. That doesn't work, by the way, in driving a race car. It doesn't really work in baseball. It doesn't work in golf. It sure as hell doesn't work in dating. Like that notion of like, I'm digging deep now, baby. I'm coming for you. Like it doesn't work. Your storyline in a movie is like, oh man, she's about to be killed by these horrible lizard people. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, she's trying now. Now she's giving it. Now she's putting effort in.
How about?
Okay, well, oh boy, that's a script. Oh, who wrote this script where you go like, oh, now she's trying?
Now trying.
Oh, so that's the big turn. So the big turn happens when she puts effort into this movie. Interesting.
That's upsetting to me on a personal level because I abide by the word of Adam Carolla, and apparently these movie makers don't. You have said for many moons now that when you go half speed, that's when you get hurt.
That's when you get hurt.
Why can't they learn from you? Speaking of getting hurt and not trying to do everything you can, you know, again, another one that we've talked about before, but I'll say it again. Mr. Miyagi, he's got magic hands, right? He does this bit, puts the magic hand. He can fix broken bones, apparently. Daniel-san is laying on the table after Johnny gives him, you know, he sweeps the leg and breaks mm-hmm. that leg on him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Daniel-san's laying on the table weeping. And Miyagi says, like, you did your best, Daniel. You know, you did your best. Nothing to be ashamed of here. He's like, no, I'll never have balance. Not with Allie, not with you, not with anything. And Miyagi thinks about it. He's like, okay, I'll give you the magic hands. Mm-hmm. Now I'll help you to try. Why are you holding out, old man? I thought this is your friend. How about the fact that he's infirmed? He's writhing in pain. Isn't that reason enough for you to lay your magic mitts on him? What, are you drunk again? Have to think it over?
Maybe.
What are you holding out for, weirdo?
Hold on. I don't want to defend the movie, the scriptwriters, or Pat Morita, but maybe the guy who played the pan flute wasn't there yet. Because you go into a premature...
Just vamp, Pat Morita, just vamp!
When elderly Asian guy goes into old world movement and there's no pan flutist next to him, it's not going to work at all. You need the pan flute, then it begins.
See, this is why I like to think about these things, but then I come to the man who has all the answers about show business and beyond. All right, that's it for today. And in fact, for this week's batch of Good Sports, we'll be back next week for you, though. In the meantime, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Good Sports out. Good Sports!
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Carolla Classics, hosted by Chris Laxamana and Superfan Giovanni. And tickets on all the live podcasts, Mangry events, books, movies, and more, as well as tickets to see Adam Carolla is Unprepared this weekend at Cobb's in San Francisco. Go to adamcarolla.com and stay tuned for AP News.